The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Abe.
Hi, Abe, alcoholic. Atlanta Group, thank you for asking me to speak. Peggy, love you. And I do because, you know, Atlanta Group saved my life. And I picked up the steps in Atlanta Group, so I'm always will be grateful. But, sorry, I do want to speak, you know, I just want to talk to you about, I want to be very honest tonight. You know, I'm very honest because I forgot how much I'm in danger of my illness. How much I'm in danger. You know, my sobriety date is March 26, 2010. I'm a little bit over 6 years, and, you know, not going to lie, things are good. You know, things are good. I got a great woman in my life. My business is doing well. Things are good. You know, family is good. I'm okay, right? So for the last couple of months, maybe 3 months, I said, you know, I'll go to the Tuesday meeting, and then, you know, so I'm committed to Tuesday Land Group, Wednesday, and Sunday. That's what I told my sponsor. So Tuesday night came. I go to the Tuesday night meeting. Wednesday night, and I text my girl, and I say, hey, you want to grab some dinner? I'll meet you, you know, before, you know, after the Sunday night meeting. Well, that became before the Sunday night meeting, and before the Wednesday night, excuse me, and then I didn't go to the Wednesday night meeting, right? That's one time. Right? It happened once. And then she wound up staying with me till Sunday, so naturally I missed the Sunday meeting, right? And that happened for not once, not twice, that happened for 2 months, you know? And let me tell you, I'm thankful. Like, tonight, I came here tonight, and I also want to thank everyone that came up to me before the meeting and told me how much I'm going to screw up and screw up tonight. Screw up. Like, hey, oh, Abe, you're speaking. You're going to mess up pretty bad, you know? And if you've been in this group long enough, you know who said that to me, right? I'm not going to call them out. I don't need the $5, right? But I love that, right? Because it shows me what deep-rooted friendships I have in this group, and that's not a joke, right? That's why I come here. That's why I'm a home group. But, you know, and last Tuesday, someone came up to me and was just like, hey, man, I haven't seen you around. You all right? Everything cool? And I was just like, yeah, man, I'm all right. Just, you know, don't have to ask me, you know? And, you know, it happens to me also on Wednesday night. Hey, and I also have commitments at all these meetings. So I've, you know, been trying to get them covered. Not always successful. But, you know, when I do that in my AA program, it happens everywhere in my life. I am always in danger. Always in danger. In 3 years, I haven't thought about alcohol. I don't really think about alcohol at all or getting high or anything else. I just don't, right? That doesn't mean I'm not in danger, you know? And I'll tell you a little story what happened. You know, this great woman in my life who's not alcoholic sent me a text like a couple of days ago. And she said, you know, hey, honey, you know, I just want to... She's asking me to support her in some way, right? And my initial response without that pause was, well, then maybe we shouldn't be together anymore, huh? How about that, right? And that's just me without any sort of AA in my life, you know? And it's not just doing the steps, having a sponsor, meditating every day. I need to be here, right? I need to be here. You know, I wake up thirsty for sobriety. You know, I've been waking up thirsty. I don't believe I'm going to say this because I didn't come in as a God person, but I was thirsty for God for the last 3 or 4 months. Thirsty, right? Like, I was empty, you know? And when I come to my home group, and that's why I love Atlanta Group so much, is that I get that feeling of God, right? That fellowship around me, no matter what you say, because not everyone is fantastic in here, right? Including me, right? Including me, and a lot of you know that, right? But, you know, I still connect with you guys and gals, right? I still connect with all of you, you know? And I need that on a daily basis. I am always in danger. I'll tell you a brief story in my childhood which reflects my alcoholism. You know, I remember I was a kid and I was in my family's from India. We immigrated from India. I was like 8 months old when I came to this country. And my dad was like, you know, he came to this country with a fake gold watch and $5 in his pocket wanting to be somebody, right? So we're in this old beat-up car, my mom in the back with her, with my sisters, and I'm in the front seat, and my mom says, hey, don't lean on the car door, right? She's scared I might fall out, right? Today she's probably not going to say that, but you know, so I remember coming home, and, you know, outside in the living room, we used to live in this two-bedroom apartment, and, you know, in Queens, you know, very immigrant focused, you know, neighborhood. And I remember hearing outside, bang, bang, boom, boom, right? I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And my dad used to just beat my mother up pretty bad, right? And, you know, I remember being a kid, and those feelings still come back, right? Those feelings still come back. I'm still that kid, right? So I remember being a kid, and I remember when that used to happen. I used to run into the closet in the bedroom, and I used to close that closet door, and I used to sit in the dark in this closet waiting for that to end, right? Just waiting for that to end. Now, that didn't make me alcoholic, my father being a rageaholic and abuser. What made me alcoholic was how I reacted to the situations in my life that came up. Alcohol is not my problem. It's how I react to life, which is my problem. And I still check out to this day. I am a checkout artist, right? Me closing that closet door and sitting in the dark, wanting not to face that moment in my life, I am a checkout artist. And that, to this day, you know, I am 44 years old. That happened 30-some-odd years ago. That kid is still inside me to this day. I am always in danger of that, right? Always in danger. So, you know, I need to do this, and I haven't been doing it. You know, and I had 5 years before, you know. I didn't do AA, and I didn't do the steps. What I did was, all right, mom, all right, sis, all right, girlfriend at the time, I'll go to rehab, went to rehab, came out of rehab, went to 3 AA meetings, and I said, I remember a guy at this AA meeting. I'm not going to say the AA meeting, but I went to this AA meeting. I raised my hand. I shared. Then he was sitting a couple seats away. He raised his hand and shared to say he related to me. And then I raised my hand and shared to rebut that I did not relate to him because I did not want to connect to him, right? I don't want to connect to you. I don't have a problem. I'm just here because, you know, my mother, my boss, the girl at the time, they all think I have a problem. I'm okay, right? I'm okay when I wake up and I have to run downstairs to check my car to see if I hit somebody. And if there's no blood on the car because I blacked out while driving, you know, you just can't drive after a few bottles of liquor, right? It's not that possible. But, you know, and then after I check my car and I pass out next to my car and I wake up from passing out and get in my car and do it all over again without even changing my clothes, that's okay because that's normal. And that's how I live for a very long time. You know, and I, like I said, I'm always in that danger, right? I'm always in that danger. And I remember I just did not go to AA anymore, right? And same thing, same solution. Met a girl, bought a place, moved her into my place. Worst 5 years of her life, right? She finally left. She's gone. She left. Don't blame her. But AA and recovery, this is what AA and recovery gave me. I'm the godfather of one of her kids today, right? I mean, wow. I don't know if I wanted to take it, but I still took it, right? Because there, with a godfather, you have this responsibility, and I'm not a guy that likes responsibility. But I accepted it anyway. I have to show up today. But, you know, I just want to end with this, right? If you're new, I hated this place, too. It's big. A lot of people. You know, it's tough, right? It's tough. You know, one thing I was told to do, and I didn't do it with a smile, was greet. Today, I voluntarily will greet. But I was told to greet, and I stood on that line, and I greeted people. And after a while, people saw me with this frown on my face, sweating, like, why, what's wrong, man? You all right, you know? But people do that here, right? If you're new, don't be scared. Reach your hand out. Someone will say hello. You know, talk to Bob, right? Talk to Bob S., find him. Find Bob S., right? And if you want an even better time, find Ron B. Just look for these guys. These guys are great. Our home group is fantastic, right? But I don't want to make it sound so ominous, but I am always in danger without this. Always. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Perrin.
Hi, everybody. I'm Perrin with a P. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, maybe after a few more rounds of steps, I'll be the type of alcoholic that isn't really thrilled to have all these faces looking back at me captive for the next 10 minutes. I would appreciate that degree of ego reduction. My sobriety date is April 16, 2009. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I sponsor people. My home group is Chelsea Mornings. I have a service position there. And I think those are my stats. I feel really grateful to Judy B. for asking me to be of service. I was taught where I got sober in Nashville, Tennessee, that the thing to do is to take the service commitment and to place the phone calls and to go to the meetings when you feel really good, so that when you don't feel really good and you want to drink, all of that system is in place that might help you not take that drink. And I'm at a place in my life today where things aren't happening on my time in my life, with my health and with my job. It feels really unmanageable. And I had a couple moments today where I was like, oh, I gotta cancel that service commitment. It's just too much. I just can't manage it. On and on and on and on and on. And I'm a person where once I started working the 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, the compulsion to pick up left me. But the mind-centered disease that is a disease of forgetting really persists in my life. And I love what was shared about this idea of the way that it manifests, where everything I'm doing seems like such a good idea. My relapse is so well-intentioned. And I'm so sober when I pick up that drink. But slowly but surely, that insidiousness sets in. And my least favorite thing, do not send me the text about how you missed me in the meeting. I will burn down a building over those texts. I hate it so much because my disease wants me to die alone, 100%. And I also loved what was shared about how what happened in our childhood has nothing to do with our alcoholism. It's how we react to it. In some of his later writings, our friend Bill Wilson talked about that. And he talks about his childhood. And he says there were, you know, that his childhood was hard. And he says, he uses the term, there were emotional shocks and the like, but that what made him alcoholic was his response and how everything became a win or lose battle to him. And when I came into this program, relationships were a game of battleship to me. And a breakup was like one of us just had to die. That was how we were going to break up and get out of this mess we're in till death do us part. And so, you know, I was an alcoholic growing up. I came out the chute, a spiritual seeker. And I do believe that alcoholics are spiritual seekers our entire lives, and that we are service-seeking bodies. And that's why a program that is as oriented around service as ours keeps us alive. And then at 12, I started drinking alcoholically, and it was really not that interesting. And I'm so grateful I've worked the steps enough times that I don't find it that interesting, the way that I drank. Garden variety drunk. Drank to die from day one. Drank for medicine from day one. And no one understood how good it was. And then I experienced incomprehensible demoralization. And I can't believe, actually, that I survived not necessarily my alcoholism, but that hopelessness, like that black fog. I can't believe I'm alive, considering how potent that was for me. And I'm a person who it took me about 6 months of being locked up to actually take a first step, to actually admit it. And I don't know how to describe how insane that process was. And if you are like me and had trouble with it or are still struggling with it, maybe you understand. I don't know how to explain why I reached a point of deep, deep demoralization. Like, horror story stuff has gone on for me. And then I drank again. Because what else am I going to do? I'm an alcoholic. I either, you know, that idea, God is everything or God is nothing, and how we are people that come into the rooms, like, I crawled into the rooms. And I thought I looked really great, and they all used to cry when I would share my story. And I was so shocked. I would be like, but I mean, I had a pretty high bottom. I'm doing really well. And everyone was like, you're sure not. You're sure not. And this idea that I could either choose a spiritual way of life or die a certain death. that I actually said to people, you know what, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm definitely going to get back to you. Thank you. I forgot to mention that I'm about to start working my eighth step, and I was like 2 pages shy of it with my sponsor in the big book before she went on a 2-week vacation, and I was like, I have to go. I'll see you. But it's profound to me every time how the process of the fourth and fifth step, I resist it so much, I resent it so much. There's a crowd this large in my mind's eye when I'm babbling to myself alone in my apartment about my resentments to this day. And because I've worked the 12 steps, I understand today, like, you know, we were talking about childhood earlier, my mom will be on my fourth step probably until I die. Not because she still refuses to do what I want her to do, but because I still demand that she do it. And that's why I'm so grateful to be in the program today. I think I would have lost my job 2 months ago, and then again a month ago, and then again 2 weeks ago, and then again last week, and then this morning, if I was not working a 12-step program of recovery, if I wasn't taking walks around the block on the phone, getting told about humility and acceptance, about being a worker among workers, about how I relax and take it easy today. I don't struggle. And I'm insane also, by the way. So I really struggle, but people might not see it all the time today. I guess that's the promise is coming true in my life at this moment. And that these tools that I was taught at the beginning, that it's a half an hour at a time, that it's 20 minutes at a time, that I pick up the phone, that I work the next step, that I go to the meeting, that I say where I'm going to be when I said I'm going to be there, that seven and change years in, that's what gets me through these really hard moments. It's so profound to me. And the last thing I just wanted to say is that starting at around 4 years, I started picking up service commitments that were a year to 2 years long. And that is why I'm sober today, because I am an alcoholic who thinks I'm too good for meetings. I think I've heard it before. My life is going really, really well. It looks pretty and shiny. I don't know if I need that meeting today or this week, et cetera, et cetera. And when I have a service commitment where they see my face, they know my name, I'm the overall chair of my home group right now, so they're in touch. A lot, a whole lot. We're really in touch right now. And the thing is that it saves my life. I was in Paris with promises coming true in my life when I started getting texts telling me that I was in charge of Chelsea Mornings, which is an idea I dabble with more than I like to admit. But I've worked the traditions in this program, which is why I don't actually think I'm in charge, which is really, really nice in terms of my relationships with people and groups. But I remember just thinking when I got those texts in Paris, where I was for a big event right after terrorist attacks, thank you so much for giving me another year sober. Like, they just handed me another year sober. All I have to do is show up and like attempt to run a business meeting once in a while, and I'm going to stay sober because I get the opportunity to keep coming back. So thank you so much for letting me be of service today and reminding me how much I need this program.